news more twisted than soap operas.
Ugh.
And with worse actors.
You can't be serious.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And good morning. Welcome to TNT Radio. It is I, the most banned man on Twitter, Darren of Plymouth. I'm going to be here for the next hour, and we're going to hopefully be talking all things Trump with my guest, Rohan Heatley, a psychology researcher and Trumpaholic. He's back to speak to me in the next 5 or 6 minutes. So let's have a quick news blast. What's going on in the world at the moment? Salman Rushdie. The original, the OG Islamophobe, the man who wrote the Satanic Verses in 1988. And for as a young kid, the first time that I realized that we lived in a multicultural society when I saw the protests in London back then calling for his death. Well, he was finally attacked last night. He's injured. I think he's got an injury to his eye. That happened on a stage in New York yesterday. And it just goes to show that the extremist views of a certain section of our Islamic community or the worldwide Islamic community haven't forgotten what he wrote about back in 1988. What else is going on? A news report this morning that I saw from the Daily Skeptic, a media alternative media outlet run by Toby Young, a free speech guru, and he's reporting that insurance companies in Germany are stating that there has been a 2,937% increase in adverse reactions to COVID, to vaccines, to serious injuries from vaccines. And this is data based on payments that have been made out by this insurance company. So that's a 300 times increase in reported adverse events from vaccines. So, you know, it's quite serious. And again, I think this is the biggest story of our time. So it's why I keep banging on about it. What else has been going on? Yesterday evening, the British government said that parts of southern, central, and eastern England had officially been declared as in a drought status after a prolonged period of hot and dry weather, which they're calling a climate emergency, but also known as summer. And in fact, the latest spell of extreme hot weather has only actually lasted for 4 days. Anyway, England has suffered, it's according to this report, England has suffered its driest July since 1935. They must have just cut out the 1976 bit out of their data set, because I'm pretty sure we had the driest period in English recorded modern history was in 1976. In 1935, the last month, we've only had 35% of the average rainfall for the month in July. And parts of England and Wales are now in the middle of a 4-day extreme heat alert. All water companies have reassured us that essential supplies are still safe. This is according to Water Minister Steve Double. He carried on and said, including impacts on farmers and the environment, and we will take further action as needed. Now, this goes along with, this follows a period of announcements in which there are hose pipes being announced in different parts of the UK. But what the government aren't reporting is that since 1970, not one reservoir has been built, and over a dozen reservoirs have been sold off by the privatized water companies in the UK. And this at the same time as the UK population has increased by approximately 10 million people. So they're cutting off our water, or saying that there's going to be water restrictions. They've been talking about rationing water supplies, particularly here where I live in the Southwest. They are on about banning the use of hose pipes. If it's like previous periods where in recent memory where they've had to restrict water supplies, we may be told to only use our flushes once a day. We may be asked to share baths. Who knows where they may go? They may tell us to stop showering, as they've recently done in Cornwall. Hey, stop showering so that we can save the water for the tourists. So we're in a drought situation in the UK. But for the rest of us, enjoy the summer. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Okay, so if you've missed your favorite TNT show radio on TNT radio or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also available on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, TuneIn, and potentially many, many, many more podcast outlets that I don't even know about. So there's never any reason ever to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Stay up to date on the latest news.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're back, and it's Darren of Plymouth on TNT Radio, and I've got my fellow podcaster and psychology researcher, Rohan Heatley, with me. We actually spoke yesterday here on TNT Radio, but we got so carried away with the transgender agenda, we didn't actually really get to the topic that we wanted to talk about, which was Donald Trump, who has been in the news. He's always in the news, but he's prominent in the news cycle at the moment after recently being raided by the FBI. So, Rohan, we'll just kick off with what's actually happened then, because we never really got into it in any detail yesterday. What's happened with regards to this raid? Why did they raid him? How was the raid carried out? And what have they actually found, or were they looking for?
Well, we finally got them to release the warrant, so we do actually know what they're looking for. And the first thing that jumped out to me that was very alarming about the warrant is it says that they are to seize all presidential material created between January 20, 2017 and January 20, 2021. So effectively, all materials during Trump's presidency is what they were looking for. So when you're looking at a specific search warrant and they're saying we want all materials that you ever produced during your presidency, that's not exactly what I would call specific. And also the big argument now is, where does the power to make something confidential come from? Because anything that is confidential in America is confidential by order of the executive. The president is what makes something confidential. And by that virtue, he can make something unconfidential whenever he wants. So it was already known that Trump removed the materials that they were requested in, because they did label some boxes that were specifically numbered. But all of it was declassified. And Trump has had it this entire time. And it's like another big issue about this warrant is he's been cooperating with every investigation. And normally when you write a warrant to seize materials, it's because the party's been uncooperative. They could have just asked for it. Like, Trump would have given it to them. It was in a safe that they had specifically asked. Like, he'd put a padlock that the FBI specifically had the lock to.
And he actually did. He has actually stated that, you know, the materials, and he went on he used to go on tweet storms, but now he goes on truth storms, which is actually quite a nice little ring to it. It's better than a tweet storm. And he's been on his social media platform on Truth Social, and he set off a barrage of posts. And in one of them, he specifically stated that he's had these materials for, what, a year and a half since he left the office. Yeah. That these materials, that the FBI knew what materials that he had. He said that he's always stated that he's had these materials and that they were available for inspection at any time. So it suggests it's quite clear that this raid was politically motivated with the midterms in mind and the 2024 elections. How do you think then? Do you think then personally this is a politically motivated attack? I see that they've released the warrant today. Can you tell me a bit more about the warrant that's released? Because you sent me an email last night saying, I've got the warrant. What's the warrant actually saying in terms of what they were looking for specifically? Or what they, and the list, the itemized list of what they've actually collected.
Well, as I said, the warrant like has this ominous line in it saying all materials, but they do provide a list of a lot of it very boring to read, you know, because it's literally just box labeled A14, box labeled A43, you know, stuff like that. But it does, you know, a couple of interesting things. It says miscellaneous secret documents, miscellaneous top secret documents, you know, miscellaneous confidential documents. So there's lots of miscellaneous documents that are multiply listed within this warrant. So it's very clear that they weren't looking for something specific. There was a degree of phishing operation going on here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I was saying before, you've already got a lot of extreme circumstances that they've decided to immediately go for a search and seizure rather than just simply cooperate with the client. You know, as that's what Trump has made clear, is that he would have allowed them to take any materials they wished without any conflict. There was no need for this warrant. So it's the fact that it lines up so perfectly with November makes it very clear that this is to draw attention to the November midterms, to attempt to, you know, sabotage Trump's position, make him look. But they've been constantly legally attacking him this entire time. I think at this point, they're making Trump the most legally clean person in the whole of America. I mean, the IRS and the FBI have been up this man's rear since he, you know, went down that golden escalator and declared his run for president. So if they've not managed to find anything legally actionable at this point, because, you know, if this material that was in Mar-a-Lago was so incendiary and so dangerous, why did they wait a year and a half to take any action upon it? And they knew it was there. It's hard to draw any conclusions from this other than it's political.
Yeah, I mean, it is clearly a political tack. There has been nothing of its kind in terms of, you know, a former president having his personal home raided for documents, top secret documents, national secrets, etc. And they've been talking about nuclear documents. Has there been any suggestion any more detail to what they mean by nuclear documents, or are they just using this sort of catch-all phrase that makes it sound really scary and ominous? As they've said, oh, is it schematics for nuclear weapons? Is it battle plans? Is it inventory? Has there been anything further said on the whole sort of nuclear issue related to these documents?
No, I don't think they haven't offered anything specific. And to me, that was the thing that really discredited them the most, because by just throwing out the word nuclear, it's very obvious that you're going for a word that, you know, the general public will hear and will frighten them, because they needed something. They knew how egregious this was. I don't think they really thought about it, because they think that their cause is entirely righteous. But once they saw the public reaction, They knew they needed something very drastic that would make people think that this was justified. And if you're holding nuclear secrets, that's probably one of the things that most people would consider to make this justified. So they went straight for the thing that they thought would justify it, but also makes it incredibly absurd. Because it's like, well, you're saying that you allowed him to have nuclear secrets for a year and a half? Because all of the materials that were there are itemized, and they were aware of all of them. So I find it much more likely that, you know, he has evidence on some sort of malfeasance conducted by the FBI or the previous DOJ that they now want to make sure gets disappeared before, you know, whatever lawsuits may end up coming in the future.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to go for like the most extreme sort of that what they broadcast is the most sort of extreme possible thing that they can think of to scare the public, to justify their actions. But it leaves them with nowhere to go, you know, because if it turns out, let's just say it's an honest raid, and I'm using I'm using quote marks here. If it was an honest raid and they don't find any nuclear documents, and they've put out there that that's what they were looking for, suspected of him of holding, they've got nowhere to go. And this is what Trump said. We're coming up to a quick ad break, but this is what Trump said on True Social. He said, nuclear weapons is a hoax, just like Russia was a hoax. He said it three times. Two impeachments were a hoax. The Mueller investigation was a hoax, and much more, some sleazy people involved. Why wouldn't the FBI allow the inspection of areas at Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present? made them wait outside in the heat, wouldn't let them even get close, said, absolutely not. Planting information, anybody? Reminds me of a Christopher Steele dossier. And it sort of goes back to what you was just saying, Rohan, in that actually, I don't think Donald Trump has ever actually been convicted of any crime. He hasn't even got a driving ticket, although I don't think he drives. He doesn't, definitely doesn't drink. So, I mean, he's one of the cleanest people in America, because almost, you know, huge numbers of people have got some sort of ticket against their name or some sort of indiscretion that they've committed. And yet, you know, Donald Trump is continually persecuted by the left-wing media and by the Democratic Party. Okay, so we're going to be right back in a minute with Rohan. We're going to go to a quick ad break. We are on TNT Radio.
Politically Incorrect on TNT Radio.
Where we are in the state of Queensland in Australia, we've had a lot of news coming through about how wonderful the transparency is, how wonderful the integrity is of our own local government or state government, led by a woman by the name of Anastasia Palachuk. In our local newspaper, and I suspect that this happens in other parts of the world, there has been an inquiry by that body known as the Crime and Corruption Commission into the spending of money. It was originally an inquiry into misuse of funds, so I gather.
So what have we done? We've hidden it, haven't we?
As a matter of fact, the first court allowed that report to be published, which would have shown us what the allegations were. Now the Court of Appeal has said they don't have to. We're not told what the results of those inquiries are, and we're none the wiser. All we do know is that there are large amounts of money being spent at public expense on secret inquiries.
Nefarious activities, perhaps.
Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular, we can build that.
During the pandemic, 129 billion unrecyclable masks were used and thrown away every month. Over 3 billion masks now pollute the oceans. Let's not turn a blind eye to this disgusting plastic pollution. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And before we get back to Trump, yeah, that pollution is disgusting, and not a word in the MSM, in the corporate media, about all the masks that are in our ocean. God, it gripes me. Back to Trump, and it's down in Plymouth. I'm talking with Rohan Heatley. So a couple of statements that have been made by the mainstream media. This is what was released yesterday by the Washington Post. FBI sought classified documents related to nuclear weapons during Mar-a-Lago search, according to the Washington Post, the bastion of truth in the USA. The Washington Post has reported that the FBI sought, among other items, classified documents relating to nuclear weapons during their search of former President Donald Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago, Florida. This information comes after the U.S. Department of Justice announced on Thursday that it is moving forward with unsealing the search warrant and itemized receipt of what was taken. U.S. Attorney, these are statements made by the U.S. Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, says he personally approved the Donald Trump search warrant.
And Merrick Garland also said the DAG had asked the judge to unseal a warrant executed on former President Donald Trump's Florida estate following the raid. And Donald Trump had fired back saying, release the documents now. So Merrick Garland, he has been a sort of a character, an ongoing name, a meme in American politics, going all the way back to sort of the Obama administration. Can you tell the audience who Merrick Garland is and why his role is actually quite significant in the overall process of this attack on Donald Trump?
Yeah, as you say, Merrick Garland is kind of one of the sort of Obama era sort of legal people who was for a long time kind of being groomed for a Supreme Court justice position, and as he sees it, sort of Trump sabotaged his attempt to get on the Supreme Court, and now he's ended up being sort of relegated to Attorney General in his mind, and so he does have a lot of bad blood for the Trump, because he's very much one of these establishment legal people, part of a lot of what's going on in the US with the problem with the judges and the justice system and the infiltration of sort of, you know, foreign money, sort of the Soros funded judges and stuff, you know, that are, so he's a very key player in all of this, because if someone like that manages to get into the position of a Supreme Court justice, you know, they can wreak all kinds of havoc, like someone like Roberts, who has one label but votes another way, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, the Merrick Garland story has been ongoing for years, and it's quite clear that he's partisan. He's a Democrat, and he's aligned or has allegiance with the left wing in US politics. So for him to make this decision to raid Donald Trump absolutely stinks, doesn't it? It absolutely stinks of a political attack that's probably something that has no weight to it. Do you believe that they have gone in and planted information? Because there are also reports coming out that there was an FBI informant as part of the Mar-a-Lago estate or set up employees, maybe even somebody that Donald Trump considered a friend. Do you think that that's the case? And if so, is there planted information? Worryingly, maybe related to nuclear weapons, because that would be serious. They're talking espionage.
Yeah, I don't believe they would have planted anything, just simply because they don't need to. If they want to, they can just fabricate something. I mean, because the Steele dossier and all of the justifications, it was all just fabricated. Like they'll just pull it out of whatever hole they need to if they need evidence. But the key thing about the raid is it gives the justification, because they don't need to plant it. They can just say, "Oh, we found this, we found that," mm-hmm. and the people weren't looking. So it's not so much plant. It's like, because there was no observation, they can claim that they found whatever they want. And who's to tell, you know, say against them? The attorneys weren't watching. Who? And if it's a war of opinion, you know, it's like, well, are you going to believe Trump or are you going to believe the Justice Department? You know, the law of the country. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so yeah, it's an incredibly dangerous situation that they've put themselves in, because it's very clear that this is a political action by the legal arm of the government. I mean, when this sort of thing starts to happen in a country, those countries don't tend to last long, or at least they don't tend to be stable for much longer.
Well, I mean, my opinion is that, you know, the USA, like lots of the Western democracy, including the UK where we are, it's a tinder keg at the moment. It's a pile of incredibly dry wood, and we've got the drought and the heat drying it out even further and further. And so political attacks like this on Donald Trump, assuming that there was no actual real justification for them to do it, to do this raid, it's like throwing a fire and gas onto this tinder keg. And the talk of civil war coming out of the USA must be taken seriously. And the thing that sort of gets me is the Democrats
and their media lackeys that are pushing the anti-Donald Trump narrative now that this espionage is a word that's being thrown around. Again, very serious crime. I think it could potentially have the worst of all punishments for espionage.
It can be executed for it, yes.
It can be executed. I mean, I'm sure that's not something that would happen. They're actually only reporting to a very, very small minority of people. And actually, attacks like this, you would think, would only embolden Trump and his supporters leading into the 2022 midterms and obviously the 2024 elections in which Trump is going to be standing in. So when we come back in a minute after the news headlines that are coming up, I'd like to talk about the 2022 midterms and the potential for election fraud. And it looks like they are gearing up to cheat again in any way that they can. And the ramifications of another fraudulent election in the USA and the potential for civil war. So we'll be right back after these news headlines on TNT Radio.
Matt Boylan here with a quick check of the day's headlines. It's been revealed that federal agents were reportedly looking for documents relating to nuclear weapons during Monday's unprecedented raid on Donald Trump. The computer repairman who blew the whistle on Hunter Biden's infamous laptop and handed it over to the FBI is now speaking out against the agency, accusing it of doubled standards. And as many as 30 people have been injured after two roller coasters collided at a theme park in Germany.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And we're back again. It's Darren of Plymouth. I'm here for the next half an hour, and I am talking to Rohan Heatley about all things Trump and American politics. Donald Trump has just been raided. There's talk that he had documents relating to nuclear weapons, you know, a very serious thing, if true. They're banding around words like espionage. We've got the 2022 midterms coming up, an incredibly important election, as they always are. And at the same day, so this is on August the 11th, 2 p.m., Twitter safety. You know, so there's a Twitter safety account. And it said, starting today, we'll begin enforcing the civic integrity policy in context of the U.S. midterms. This means we'll take action against misleading claims about the voting process, misleading content intended to intimidate or dissuade people from participating in the elections, or misleading claims that may undermine public confidence in election outcomes. And because every year is an election year on Twitter, you can learn about our global election approaches at election.twitter.com. So they got their own site. And I opened up their document. And it's not even a written sort of normal like a Word document or a PDF. It's just a series of tweets, you know? So this is what the world has come down. We're going to monitor our elections, and here's our evidence for it. A series of tweets. This is our policy. A series of tweets. So it seems clear that the Democrats and their establishment lackeys are now gearing up for the 2022 elections, as we saw in 2020, where they are putting in their fortifications to ensure that the election is fair. Do you believe that this Donald Trump raid is part of that overall, you know, fortification of election process? And do you think that they're going to rig the elections in 2022 to ensure the Democrats keep as many seats as possible in the House and Senate?
I think the persecution of Trump is part of this sort of larger secondary plan that does feed into elections, because they want to make him find some legal avenue by which they can make it so that he doesn't get on the ballot, because they know that all Trump needs to do is get on the next ballot, and yeah, without any shenanigans, he will definitely win. Because I think it's obvious that they're planning something. I think that the recent election in Arizona, the primary with Carrie Lake, shows that there is still some issues that need to be dealt with in Maricopa County in Arizona. You know, they're reporting very late. Their numbers are very dubious. There's, you know, you've still got a lot of the early mail-in votes in a lot of states are very statistically weird in terms of their distribution. So there's still a lot of stuff going on, and we can only hope that the specific states like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, you know, was it Wisconsin, you know, those states have, that hopefully will have people in charge when the time comes next year, because the elections that are going on now are looking very good. You know, Carrie Lake did end up winning her primary. You know, hopefully she will end up winning the whole thing. And you've got, and it's also not quite just a Democrat problem, because you've got some of the rhinos that are causing a huge issue as well, like old Liz Cheney, although it's looking like in her race, which is going to happen very soon, she's going to get absolutely destroyed by her opposition. So this will definitely make things look a lot better if you can get these governors and people like that in the key positions, because they're the people who can make sure that the laws are set so that no shenanigans can occur. You know, they can, because a lot of toxic governors were the problem during 2020. So, yeah, if people like Kemp aren't an issue, then, you know, hopefully it's one of those things where you never want there to be this idea of fraud in your election. You want it to be the most secure thing in any country. And I understand why people get so defensive and sort of accusing everyone as conspiracy theorists about it, but the simple reality is, from a mathematical perspective, there were a lot of numbers that were dubious. You know, there's the effect of the control of the media. I mean, the 2020 election had a lot of problems with it, and the elections before have had a lot of problems. The Democrat primary where Bernie beat where Hillary beat Bernie. I mean, there's a lot of people feel that should have gone another way. So it's we got to hope they clean it up. Yeah, we just got to hope they clean it up.
Bernie Sanders himself is now following party line and establishment narrative, and moved away from the things that actually made him, from a certain perspective, almost a reasonable candidate, especially when you think who's in power now. Trump, another truth from Trump, and he stated yesterday, 167 to 6 on the endorsements this cycle. This includes many who didn't have a chance of getting elected. Most of the impeachers are gone or going. Crazy Liz Cheney, who rarely leaves Virginia, will be shown the door by the great people of Wyoming next Tuesday. So the election that Liz Cheney is taking part in, Liz Cheney being, what's her relationship to Dick Cheney? Is that her husband and wife? His daughter, yeah. So, the daughter of one of the most sinister war criminals of modern history, a man who, you know, who's got the blood of millions of Iraqis and Afghanis on his hands, and probably some people from the World Trade Center too. But I didn't say that. His daughter, who's been making a lot of noise and seems to be very popular as a Republican with the left-leaning press, yeah, because they love people who are opposed to Trump but are a part of the GOP. So her election in the people in Wyoming is next Tuesday, and the unselect, carrying on with Trump's statement, the unselect committee is a TV ratings bomb. Only the Adam Shifty shit family is watching, and I didn't swear then. So... the point of me reading that post down is that regardless of what happens with Donald Trump, let's just say they manage to pin a crime on him from their fishing expedition at Mar-a-Lago, he is still the kingmaker. There are still candidates that he could endorse for the presidency that may actually get a bump from not just from him not being able to run, but for the reasons that he didn't run. Do you think that all that's happening now is just increasing Donald Trump's influence and power?
Yeah, I think it's simply too late at this point. Like he's too much of an influence for them. If they slap anything legal on him, it will just make the situation 10 times worse. It will be the exact sort of, you know, everyone likes to talk about the crossing the Rubicon thing and Caesar as a metaphor. And yeah, like that event happened because Caesar was declared a criminal by the Senate. So if they declare Trump a criminal, they're provoking that will be definitely a step in the direction towards civil war, because you're effectively criminalizing half the country, you know, because it's not just going after Trump, as he says all the time. It's going after the people who believe in him. And there are plenty of people who will stand with him and will fight with him because they believe that his cause is the right one, because they're definitely it's one thing to have partisan politics. It's another thing to divide the country on effectively lines of war. You know, it's like either this person is your president or he's a traitor. You know, when that's the two sides of the country, you've got a very big problem. I mean, it's exactly what happened with Abraham Lincoln. Like, half the country considered him a traitor to the Constitution, half considered him the just leader, and look what happened. And that was also a time when misinformation of the media was rife. Like, one of the greatest criticisms against Abraham Lincoln was where he brought laws against, he basically ended free press because the media was so corrupt at that time. And so it's, you know, just look at history. These things have happened before, and it's not to say that they will repeat exactly, but we've been warned. We know that doing these things are dangerous, and you can think that Trump is a horrible person, but to engage in this frivolous legal thing is dangerous. And they've shot themselves in the foot. All it's done is dramatically emboldened the conservative side, from what I can see. You know, a lot of people that were very hesitant about the idea of Trump running in 2024 are now completely gung-ho about it, you know, because a lot of people realize that only someone who is angry and has been sort of wronged by these systems will destroy them, and something needs to be done with a lot of these things. A lot of, like I said, in my opinion, like I'm Club Ron Paul, like all of these three-letter agencies need to go. Just get rid of all of them. Get rid, instead of funding the IRS with more people, destroy it. It shouldn't exist. Like, all of these agencies are fundamentally unconstitutional. So, you know, it's a lot of interesting things are going to happen moving forward on that note.
And I understand, actually, that the FBI only came into power via, like, an executive order from the president. And that actually... they're not part, the FBI is not part of like the Constitution of America. It's not something that's embedded in the sort of foundational constructs of that country. And so it could actually, you could get somebody like Donald Trump getting into power and within an executive order end the role or the organization that is the FBI. So, you know, these three-letter agencies, these acronyms, they don't actually represent the people. And it's the same all over the world. They are just a tool of the establishment for them to maintain power. So with the midterms coming up, I noticed that TDS is making a bit of a comeback, because, you know, a lot of people thought that Trump had gone. So I did come across a video yesterday. It's quite interesting. I'm just going to read a statement from a guy called Jesse Watters. Yeah. So Jesse Watters is a Fox News host, and he said, "When has Trump ever been presumed innocent? The man's never been convicted of a crime in his life, but he's been wiretapped and raided more than any other politician." And this appears to be true. And I'm speaking as someone who was a long-time Trump hater. Well, a long time. For a year, I was naive to American politics. And I spent a year of my life, a waste, a year I'll never get back, pouring hate on Trump before I was woken up by a left-wing journalist or comedian, Jimmy Dore. But I come across a video yesterday, and this is a classic example of the Trump deranged syndrome. They were all protesting outside of Trump Tower in New York after this raid. I don't know who the reporter was. It says National Reporter. It might have been Rebel News. It was some alternative media. And the question was, why are you protesting? And he said, "We've never had a former president that has committed so many provable criminal acts," said this useful idiot. The reporter obviously said, "Okay, what are the provable criminal acts?" So this guy stood there and he went completely silent and he couldn't name one. All he could say was, "I'm done talking." And actually, this is what I discovered as somebody who had been my brain, you know, smashed by the mainstream media because I watched it
for 1 year was so interesting is that, you know, they can't actually find anything to pin on Trump. Can you name me any crime? Can anybody who's listening right now name me a crime that Trump has committed in office? Tell me when he's been racist. And if people say, oh, Trump is terrible, just ask that question. What has he done wrong? And the answer will always come back as silence, because I've never been able to find anything that Trump has said that's racist or a crime that he's committed, etc., etc. And it just goes to show the insanity of the world that we live in. But also, and this is where we're going after the break that's coming up, Rohan, about how actually globally, this left-right divide has put the whole world in two different realities. So there's some psych there for you to get your teeth in. So we're going to be coming right back after this break on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In case anyone is still unclear about what is meant by the deep state or the DC swamp, consider this. Federal magistrate Bruce Reinhardt, who signed off on the FBI's warrant request so that it could send three dozen jackbooted thugs marching through Mar-a-Lago Monday and rifling Melania's closet, had to recuse himself from the Trump versus Hillary Clinton civil suit back in June. Judges have to recuse themselves from cases where either there's a conflict of interest or an inherent bias against one of the parties. So he had to recuse himself in June, but in August he's competent to sign a search warrant for the president's private residence? That's grounds for impeachment, and it's grounds for disbarment. Meanwhile, Eric Holder was out Monday telling lies about President Trump and justifying this search warrant. Make no mistake, Joe Biden is not running the country. This is Obama's third administration. Trump 47 needs to be much more ruthless than Trump 45 ever was. No more deep staters in high positions. Looking at you, Christopher Wray, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell. No more, these are nice people, I'd hate to see them get hurt. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Gloves off, Mr. President. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Since the day I stopped drinking, my life has gotten better and better. I can't take any credit for it. It just seems that without alcohol, I think better, I'm more careful with money, I watch what I say, I don't get into trouble like I did when I was drinking. It's scary trying to walk through life alone, and today I have that very distinct feeling that I don't ever have to be alone again.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Government today.
They're not human. They ought to be destroyed.
It's like all the children from the Village of the Damned grew up and went into politics.
You can't stop us, you know.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back. It is me, Darren of Plymouth, and I'm speaking with Rohan Heatley about all things Trump. And I ended the last little segment where I was sort of talking about the TDS, the Trump derangement syndrome. Do you believe that, should that be categorized as a real mental health problem? And is it quite symbolic of, it is a real mental health problem. It is. I see you smiling. And is it symbolic of the fracture in this world and that the divide, i.e. we've got two camps living in completely different realities?
Well, really it's the effect of propaganda. I mean, the thing is, a lot of people with this TDS, it's like, well, the syndrome is being a fool that is fooled by the propaganda. It's like, you know, it's because one of the main things that turned me on to Trump was, you know, I never took him seriously. He was just a celebrity. He was a bit of fun. And I liked the fact that he was a troll, that he shook things up. But I never took him seriously as a leader. I thought he was a terrible choice for president until I actually saw the decisions he was making. You know, I think it was when he sort of walked across North Korea that I first sort of was like, hang on, I need to pay attention to this man. Because it's easy to assume, like if you believe everything that the mainstream media tells you about Trump, it's easy to assume that why these people think he's evil. Because yeah, the media is constantly parroting things. Like the media is the one constantly saying that he has all these provable crimes, and they always use those the great words, anonymous sources, like sources close to the president say this, blah blah blah. It's like, give me names, give me accusers, give me a court case, and I might start taking some of these accusations seriously. Because as you say, like when you have such aggressive propaganda in effect, you kind of create two separate universes. Like it like a lot of these, the sort of left-wing academics are very fond of that matrix style simulacra sort of way of viewing the world, because our entire universe is just what we perceive. And if what we perceive is manipulated, then our universe is wrong. Mm-hmm. And this is the situation these people are in. They've been fed these lies to such an extent that, yeah, they believe all of these sort of hoaxes about the president, hook, line, and sinker. And even though, you know, they're the ones that like to do the fact-checking, debunking type of stuff, even though a lot of this has been debunked, it doesn't matter. They will still stick to their guns fervently and believe whatever they want to believe, but to the point where they've effectively become religious fanatics. Like I don't say that to be mean to religious people, but they mm-hmm. cannot be dissuaded from mm-hmm. that. They're just so completely fervent in what they believe, and that's the real danger and the real reason why the whole sort of civil war thing gets bandied around a lot. Because once you manage to develop camps in a country that have an opinion that absolutely cannot be dissuaded by facts, you know, it's kind of a conflict is sort of inevitable. You know, you have to always leave an option for dialogue and reason. And it's why there used to be laws against sort of the media producing propaganda until Obama ended them. Because the other weird thing is the whole two-tiered nature of a lot of the persecution of Trump. Because, okay, let's play the game that Trump is guilty of a crime for what he has done. It's like, well, what he has done is a fraction of what both his predecessors have done. Or well, you say Obama, but the whole thing with Hillary is like, well, Hillary wasn't even a former president. So Hillary never even had the protection of being able to declassify anything. Like all of the potential sort of legal protections that Trump would have, Hillary didn't have any of them. Yet, you know, she wasn't brought under the Espionage Act. So in a certain way, Trump may be being hoisted by his own petard because he made the sort of the documents crimes a federal crime, you know, a more serious crime, because he obviously wanted to try and go back and get Hillary. And now they're kind of using the laws that he's changed to more aggressively persecute him.
And that's the thing, you know, I mean, you mentioned Hillary. Hillary took 33 million pages classified documents.
I believe that was Obama was the one that took the million pages. It was Hillary was that she deleted her email server.
Yeah, my bad. It was 33 million. I'm just looking at one of Donald Trump's truths here. And it was, 33 million pages of documents, with many of which are classified, that President Obama took to Chicago. Nothing happened. You've got Hillary and her emails. She had 30,000 emails, didn't she? And she acid washed the hard drive, actually smashed it up in a bath or something like that. Nothing happened. And they know about this. And there's other characters, you know. Has anyone seen the Epstein client list? Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that's classified. Somebody's got that. That's never been checked. That's fine. All about the Hunter Biden laptop. You know, with his secret deals with China that the big guy was involved in, the big guy being the person who's in charge of America now. So I know you could talk about Fauci and his gain of function research. Do these people who have TDS, this mental health problem, this reality that they've been inserted to, are they not aware of the hypocrisy of the people who are carrying out these actions against Trump? Or is it just because that it's not reported by the mainstream? Because it seems to me that there's this massive, there's a massive elephant in the room, and it's only a matter of time before that elephant is so big that it can't be seen. And again, all that will feed into, I believe, is some sort of conflict that flows out of Twitter and onto the streets of America.
This is why I've been trying to warn people so much, but also what has provided a great white pill for me, because it's there is that whole Einstein thing of actions have an equal opposite reaction, and it's just like the more they push this system and weaponize this system about Trump, like the whole reason that there is the, you know, for any sort of philosopher bros here, the whole Hegelian pendulum thing is that, like, you can see it right now with people's reaction to the persecution of Trump. Like, people want Trump to go all the other way. Like, people want, they don't just want Trump in, they want Trump to come in like a firestorm and just wipe all of this out.
Yeah.
Because everything, like all of the, they've been feeding a monster. And this is why, you know, I'm a great fan of Locke and a lot of the sort of political philosophy that America's built on. Like, the government is a beast that you need to keep in chains. You need to keep controlled, because whatever one commander of that beast can do, another commander can do. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you feed the beast too much and then the reins go over to someone who's not quite as, you know, nice or righteous, that beast can unleash 10 times the amount of havoc. So what you have right now is all of these institutions have been empowered, but all of this can go the other way. Because you said it's like, well, what happens if, you know, we play the game like Trump's the bad guy. What happens if they go after all of these things? What happens if they go after Hillary? They go after Obama? They go after Fauci? You know, they like say the paradigm switches completely to the other side, and now you've got Team MAGA just like writing up indictments, writing up things, just like all of these people being chain gang to jail. It's like they are under the same system, right? All these people have this hubris that they don't think that any of the actions that they are taking will end up being used against them. And the reality is it will. It's like the 2022, if the Republicans end up getting a significant amount of power, they're going to be able to start rolling out impeachments, and like Marjorie Taylor Greene has already put impeachment orders out for Merrick Garland. So it's they're the ones who are going to end up being consumed by this beast that they're feeding, and it's a terrible mistake for them to go after the Trump in this manner.
It's the old adage that, you know, karma's a bitch. And, you know, karma is a real thing. And so you have to, you know, like you said, you know, if they're raiding Donald Trump, what's going to happen when he gets in power and he starts raiding Hillary and raiding Obama and raiding, if he can get, you know, the FBI or one of the other, you know, the three letter agencies to work on his behalf? And it could
just disband them and do it himself. I mean, because at this point, he's justified to do it. That's the thing, is like they've given him justification by treating him this way. If they hadn't, and he'd gotten in power and done all of that, they could have played their game by calling him the fascist, calling him the Nazi, you know, Hitler born again. Like, they could have played that. But now they've, all of that narrative is gone. Because he has a very clear reason to do all that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, particularly his supporters, would believe that he's justified. It's funny hearing Ron Paul from the 80s getting dragged up again, because Ron Paul's been talking about disbanding all this stuff for years. Like, you know what? Ron Paul was right.
Could be the new meme. Right. So we've got a 22 very quickly then. Joe Biden. Yeah. A man who can't even put his own coat on. He needs his nanny to do it for him. Is it his nanny or is it his handler? Yeah,
his wife. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, they're actually married. Who knows? Do you think that the Democrats are going to keep him in position through the 2020 midterms? Or do you think it would be more politically astute for them? Not that we want them to keep Joe Biden in power because he's making you look bad, but do you think they might pull him and put Kamala and elevate Kamala into the position of president for the 2022 elections, because that will potentially benefit them in 2024? Got a couple of minutes. What are they going to do about Joe Biden?
I don't know what they can do, because the problem is Kamala Harris is just as bad. So she's got just as many gaffes with and when it comes to her like ability to speak in public, it's also rather lacking. So yeah. They can't just 25th Biden and get Kamala in. So they're kind of screwed up until 2024. Who they decide to anoint for that? I mean, they do seem to be going after good old Pete Buttigieg. Like he does seem to be the what one they're trying to anoint, but they don't really have anyone. It is the biggest problem that the Democrats have, is they don't have someone charismatic to rally behind.
And the biggest problem for the Democratic Party is if they choose to keep Biden in position, if they don't use the 25th, or he's not like medically retired, or, you know, or whatever angle or process they use to get rid of him, he's a lame duck president. The Democratic Party are almost then powerless, especially if the Senate and the House is taken in the 2022 elections by the GOP. And so, you know, now you've got a powerless administration, maybe just operating purely on executive decisions. And again, it all feeds into conflict. It feeds into these two different realities that Americans are living in. And, you know, if I was in the USA, it's worrying times for the future there. So anyway, Rohan, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for informing me more on what's going on in American politics. And to all the listeners, thank you for listening this morning. And we are now going to the news, and we are on TNT Radio.